Acts chapter 16, verse 26. And suddenly, I just love verses that start like that. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. That wasn't talking about a parade there. Not them bands. We got different bands being loosed here. Oh boy, when God shakes a place, when God shakes Wyandotte Tabernacle, Lord, if you'll help me for a few minutes with this scripture. I know what your Bible says, and I know what the Spirit of the Lord has dealt with me about today. God, if you'll bring a meeting of the minds between me and thee and help me to convey it tonight in this house, somebody can see Jesus. Touch us, Lord. In your name we ask it. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you can be seated if you want to, and I'm going to try to hurry here because I know we got some little goodies after service. But you know, Scripture is just full of different accounts where the manifested presence of God did something besides put people to sleep. It's just full of it. I mean, you're gonna have a hard time finding a camp meeting in Israel that somebody wasn't being stirred and fire was a coming and the Spirit was a moving. You're gonna have a hard time. You're gonna have a hard time finding when the ark was brought home. You're going to have a hard time not finding somebody dancing right out in the middle of the street, thrilled about the very presence of God. That's because when God moves, 9 out of 10 times, He shakes things. He rearranges things. He never leaves them the same. When he first looked and the earth was void, without any kind of form whatsoever, God said. And that's all it took to start shaking up light and darkness. That's all it took to start shaking up the animal kingdom. So I'm just telling you, sometimes when God shakes a place, the best place you can be is right in the middle of it. And I know, you know, when you grab that word shake or you grab that word quake, it just means to move violently. Sometimes it means to move it up and down. Sometimes it means to move it back and forth. Sometimes it means to move it side to side. However you want to look at it, God never leaves it in the very same way that He found it. That's why when you get saved, you get sanctified, and you come up from the altar, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Passed away. All things become new. That's why when you feel yourself getting closer to God, you find your lifestyle changing, your wants and your desires. That's because He shakes things up. And when God really, really, genuinely, hey, you can't hardly read the papers nowadays without hearing of God shaking. In some instances, it's wars and it's rumors of war. In other instances, it's an earthquake in Iraq. Or us down in southern Missouri, sitting on the New Madrid Fault. Or somebody else feeling a shaking. I mean, God has a whole lot of ways of shaking things. He has a whole lot of way of moving things. But I'm going to tell you, right here, I'm not interested in the geographical lay of the land. And right now, I'm not interested in war. I'm interested in victory in this church. Because the pastor said, Sunday morning, you're just beginning. I wish it would almost get to the place this coming Sunday morning, that when you come in this house, Brother and Sister Johnson took on a brand new look. You felt a brand new enthusiasm. You had a brand new desire. All of a sudden, Sunday school had a brand new touch. The people had a brand new feeling. The song leaders had a brand new song. The musicians had a brand new feel. I'm talking about shaking from one place to something else. In the Bible story, I won't be long. Philippi was fixing to get all shook up. A couple of preachers by the name of Paul and Silas had made their way into this country, led by the Spirit of God, no doubt. They had been casting out devils. They had been relieving people of evil spirits. They had been preaching about the resurrection. And they so upset the system that they decided to put those two guys in jail. Now don't get too quiet or you're going to run the message. How long has it been since you have felt the system upset? How long has it been since we put the song service at the back of the service and we put the altar service at the front? How long has it been since the preacher didn't open his Bible, the Holy Ghost fell in the back of the house, and they shouted all the way to the front? I'm just talking about upsetting the system. I know for a fact that there's a few song services that could use a good upset. There's a few ministers, there's a few preachers that could use a good upset. They walk up behind the pulpit like a stone, a cold robot. They open up the Holy Word of God and take something out of the Scriptures and don't make a lick of sense to anybody. And you walk out just as dead as you walked in. I'm talking about a good old-fashioned shaking that's fixing to turn Philippi on its ear. How'd you like to turn Wyandotte on its ear starting this coming Sunday because somebody tonight got all shook up about serving God? Hey, the night you got saved, you come up from the altar. We couldn't hardly shut you up. You told everybody in your family. You told every friend that you had. You come back to church and you acted like you could charge hell with a water gun. It's 20 years down the road now and you've traded your water gun for a pop gun and you've lost the stopper. What's wrong with getting all shook up again until you feel saved all over again and you get the Holy Ghost all over again? What's wrong with that? Hey, listen. When we start upsetting the system, and when God moves, He does. You're not going to be able to keep everybody all the time in every church that you ever pastor or go to. There's always going to be somebody in the church that thinks they're more spiritual than you, or you're less spiritual than them. Either way, you're not going to be able to help them. Don't look at me like that. But there's always going to be a group of people that says, I want to be touched to God, and I want to be helped, and I want to be blessed. And I used to worry about that. One night a lady met me at the back door at the end of a revival service, looked at me straight in the face, and said, you sound like Jerry Lee Lewis on a honky-tonk when you play the piano. I think we lost her during that revival. I believe we did. Especially when I asked her how she knew what Jerry Lee Lewis sounded like in a honky-tonk in the first place. Hey, that lady that wrote me that little note at Mike Blues about hollering and getting too loud, I figure we lost her in that revival too. And isn't it amazing? I'm still playing, and I'm still preaching, and I'm still grinning, and I'm still rejoicing. Hey, I didn't even miss them. Are you listening? You can have a heaven shaken, hell quaking, old-fashioned Philippi move of God. And if it doesn't bless anybody else in the house, it can bless you. Here it is. Listen. Nutshell. This story. Paul and Silas. They were arrested. They were beaten. They were cast into prison. They were put within an inner prison. They were shackled. I mean, the prison keeper had done his duty upon throwing these two holiness, wind jamming, wild devil casting, resurrection preaching preachers right in the middle of jail. Some board meetings I've heard of. After that guy got them guys cast in that inner prison, he went on about his merry business, feeling fulfilled in his daily role. But something was happening on the inside of that prison that I want you to notice right now. The thing was, it was just about midnight. And at midnight, when two men could sit there and remember what a bad day they just had, and could sit there and wonder, what kind of day am I fixing to have tomorrow if this day has been as bad as it was? I mean, beat, cast into prison. Some of you would not have been here tonight if you'd had a day like that. Paul and Silas went from this one area fixing to go into another area, and the only way they could figure to do it and benefit themselves was to go singing and to go worshiping. Man, you didn't hear me. I can tell by the expression on your face, because the last thing the church wants to do when she's going through a tight spot is worship. But that's the first thing that a body of believers ought to do when they want to have revival. At midnight, they started to sing and had church. Hey, well, Brother Height, I'm just going to tell you, it's darker than it's ever been in the church. I know it. It is a great time to have a shake-up. But Brother Hart, I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know what the future holds. I don't either. Ain't that a good time to go to hollering, glory be to God, and hallelujah, and thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you, when our songs get stale, and our testimonies get stale, and our preaching gets stale, and our programs get stale, and somehow along the line we lose the power, somebody needs to take my prescription right here. The next time you come into a Sunday night service and it's as dry as a hide, and you look toward the pastor and say, okay, Bubba, the reason we hired you and the reason we paid you is for you to pull us out of this. I want you to surprise what few hairs he's got left on his head. I want you to go hollering, glory be to God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And I'm telling you from the pew, you're going to have a shake-up revival that never has to reach the preacher's message. Are you listening? You know what happened around here last night? I shook that dead dry, freeze-dried, artificial flower arrangement. I shook it all the way down to its roots that it wished it had. I shook it off the platform, threw it down there on the floor, and got word that along the line someplace, somebody's even sat on it, or stepped on it, or done something wild with it before. It's having a hard time. Are you listening? I wish everything artificial would have a hard time. When we come into the house of God, shackle or no shackle, problem or no problem, heartache or no heartache, it's hallelujah! And glory to God! And it'll change the atmosphere of the place that you're in. I'm not going to tell you where I held the hardest revival of my life, because I don't want to hurt your feelings. But I held one. It wasn't in a place where they didn't live holy. It wasn't in a place where they didn't practice sanctification. It wasn't in a place that I had to think of something to preach against, because it had already been preached against before I ever got there. In fact, for some of them, they were living straighter than the evangelist was when he came. But I started that revival on a Sunday night. Me and my sweetheart, we broke out the chains, we broke out the plow, and we set it in the ground. And we started pulling. We started pulling. Don't you want to have a move of God? Don't you want the Lord to save your kids? Pulling. Don't look at me like that. Don't you want to see somebody get the hole? Pulling. Pulling. The second night, I walked in the church. Pulling. And the Spirit of the Lord touched me. I stepped up behind that pulpit. And in my mind, I said, self, you're going to start preaching on this, and you're going to preach on this till it either catches on or you're kicked out. And I started preaching on worship every night. I'm talking about in a sanctified, holy house where everybody, I'm telling you, lives so good and lives so clean, they probably didn't even have to use Dial soap. I'm telling you, they were sanctified and they were holy, but there wasn't enough spirit moving in that house to blow the fuzz off of a Georgia peach. And buddy, I want tell you something right now. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And if you ain't got that, shut it down. So I went to preaching on worship. And it's so funny when you say, let's lift our hands and worship. Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord. I'm telling you, we got so many versions of that. We got the angel wings. We got the glorifiers that spread their hands out and look like an octopus just before. I'm telling you, we got so many different kinds. I think people get in a mirror and practice of what they're going to look like when they worship. I think they get their own pattern. So when they stand up and do it, they look different than anybody in the house. You clown, you. What I've got just coming in saying, I know I'm in a prison. I know the world is against me. I know the devil has had me down. I know he's trying to change my home and bind my family and bind my heart. And I'm just going to holler, hallelujah, and glory be to God, and thank you, Jesus. And the next amen happened. The program started to be changed. How many nights did we preach on praise and worship, honey? How many nights? I preached on it Monday night. I know I did. I preached on it Tuesday night. Two nights on praise and worship. How in the world can you find that much in the Bible? How can you find so little? I had third night, praise and worship. Fourth night, praise and worship. Fifth night, praise and worship. Praise and worship. Saturday night it caught on. Sunday morning, the place got shook. Sunday night we had such a visitation that we went on with the revival. Is anybody listening to me? When God shakes a place, you can finally lean back and say, hallelujah, He's took over. He's in charge now. And your praise and your worship is what gets Him in the house. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. If I couldn't preach any better than you can after 27 years of being in a ministry, you know what I'd do? No, I don't. Because I'm going to keep right on preaching and hollering until somebody goes to hollering hallelujah loud enough for God to take over. I tell you, you think that Brother Dave Johnson, being as pretty as he is, could preach better than he does. Thank God for his sweetie pie. You know what he's going to do? He's going to keep right on a hollering, right on a jumping, right on a yelling, right on a spitting, until somebody hollers hallelujah. I just forgot to come down and take over. Wow! How would you like to have a Friday night like that where God touches it up? Listen, listen. Some people don't. Some people won't. If it ever got out that Wyandotte was having an old-fashioned move of God, that people was a-praying through, getting sanctified, grabbing a hold of holiness, shouting up and down the aisles, and God was changing their life, some people would on purpose stay away from the house. Good. Let me get in there around that bunch of crazies. Hey, a guy, a girl, a lady, something was having marriage trouble. I ended up with her children in our Sunday school every now and then. He called me over to the house. When I went in the front door, he had Benny Chicken guy. I'm going to use his last name on the radio. I'm going to tell you. It is Benny guy on TV. Touch him. Cross here. You know, touch him. Boom. 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 Ain't that much garlic. Probably knock out people. So I walked in the house and I was already mad. Because he was equating me with he. I was already mad. He glanced over at me and he said, I want to ask you about my kids. I said, ask. He said, what are you teaching them in that Pentecostal church? I said, Bubba, if you think I'm teaching them that, you're crazy. I said, do I look like a little fat man with gray hair that walks in a church carrying a little bucket of crazy powder and sprinkling on everybody that's within reach to make them act like they're crazy and they got enough sense to come in out of the rain? I said, or do you trust me enough to tell your kids enough to keep their home from splitting up? To help them. I mean, I went up one side and down the other. I just had the best time you ever seen. I really did. I was just having a great time. All the time that Benny was in there. I mean, I was knocking them over too. Wow, don't look at me like that. Hey, there's people, they don't want to feel that way. They want to continue in their sin. They want to keep living worldly. They'd rather go with the worldly crowd. But I'm telling you, when God shakes a house, you either decide, I'm going to do it, or I'm not. And as for me and his house, I'm going to do it. Hey, honey, I'm starting to feel half anointed here. I'm telling you. So when it was the darkest that it could possibly be, they worshiped as much as they could possibly worship. They sang when they didn't feel like it. They sang and held revival service in that jail when there was no possible way of having fellowship after church. They hollered, hallelujah, and glory be to God, knowing that nobody was going to take them up an offering or invite them home for the weekend. They just sung, and they just hollered, hallelujah. It's because they had the right focus. And when we start coming to church with the right focus, it won't be to see who's here. It won't be to feel him and pray until he arrives. These guys got to shaking, looking for the victory. And suddenly, this is what happened. Suddenly, I've got to be very careful here. Suddenly, yeah. Anybody getting this on film? They'd love to have this on the evening news. What was that? The oil. Woo! We done shook the oil. Suddenly, they were in this service, hollering, glory be to God, hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And the unforeseeable happened. God said, if you want to have church that bad, I'll just come down and have church with you. And he blew into that house. Wow! And the move was on. I don't know how Sister Mary Hard, H-A-R-D. She sat right here at Carnegie. I don't know how she got in the shape she got in when the Holy Ghost hit her. And she was still able to walk out of a building at 70 years old. But she knew how to respond to the shake. I don't know what it was in Sister Carrie Housewright. Skinny as a rail. Couldn't read the Bible till the night she got saved. Then she could read the Bible fluently and not read any other book. I don't know what it was in her, but when she come up out of that pew, it always looked like her right knee was just about to hit her chin. I don't know how she done it, but she was one of them old mamas who wore them old lace-up boots and dressed down around her ankles for as long as I can remember, so she could get in any position, shout the victory, and still be very modest. I can't explain things like that. I don't know how. That night when Sister Gilpin, Dr. Gilpin came into the Junction Hill Pentecostal church. She'd been doing a little bit of soul journey out at the hospital working in ER. She'd met me and different ones of the guys, and she was getting interested about Pentecost. She jumped up one night in my blue shirt and said in that voice that I guess only a doctor could say, if I could just see something about this Holy Ghost that could convince me it was real, I'd believe it for myself. About that time, the Holy Ghost hit Matthew, Stephen, grabbed a hold of that skinny frame. I believe that boy is going to be skinny for the rest of his life. Twisted him around there. He shot down the back of them pews, ran right beside her, come back up. Spirit of God fell in that place. People went to rejoicing, and she went to hollering, I believe it. I believe it. Are you listening to me? When God shakes a place, I won't have to beg you and plead with you and try to pull you. There'll be something in you that shouts, I believe it for myself. So, everything is starting to shake, and the doors are starting to open. Now, oh my God, could somebody right now in this house, by an act of faith, holler hallelujah, and a door of healing be opened, and you be touched before anything else happened in this room? I say yes. Had some young lady sitting in this house that's been battling spirits and been battling attitude and been battling rebellion, holler hallelujah, and the door of her understanding come open right now, and she feel a liberty that she ain't never found before and will never find until she follows this leader. I'm telling you, in this room, doors of finance, doors of health, doors of revival, doors of children's church, you name it, when God shakes the place, it ain't just for the preacher. It ain't just for the teenagers. It's for anybody and everybody in the house. And the next thing that happens, you start to hear these chains of depression falling off in the pews. And you can tell somebody in the back of the house just got a fresh breath of what it's like to be set free. And they've been battling oppression for years and years. A husband reaches over, takes his sweetheart by the hand, and says, let's not just have revival in the church. Let's take it home with us. I'm telling you something. When God shakes the place, it scatters. Not just to the jail cell. It starts scattering. Pray, sweetheart. Pray, sweetheart. Listen. Listen. I know that everybody in this house has heard that word suddenly before. I know you have. If you're Pentecostal, if you're any reader of the Bible, if you've been privileged to sit around any of us screaming, hollering, wild, demonstrative preachers, you've heard us jump up and say, according to the book of Acts, chapter 2, that something suddenly happened. Are you listening? If I thought that it could be by taking 3 extra strength Tylenols in the vestibule, I'd send us all out there to get in line. If I thought, if it was from passing around the juiciest juicy fruit in the house, I'd say let's all chew a wad right now. But it don't happen that way. It's a sudden, sudden thing. When you get in the right frame of mind, God suddenly, unexpectedly drops down in the house. That's what the Holy Ghost does. Now, I haven't took into account of how many people's in here tonight. Has anybody counted? I know how many's in here tonight, halfway. About 70. Well, this Bible verse said they just had 120. Man, you'd think you'd had at least run 5,000 before you could have an old fashioned gully washing, Holy Ghost spill church service. But I figure if they can do it with 120, and the Bible says two or three can gather together in His name and do it, I figure us 70 can be someplace in the middle of that and say we got every right under God's heaven to have an old-fashioned Holy Ghost outburst and outbreak in this church. You don't have to run 5,000 to have revival. So we're shaking now. We're shaking. I told them last night, one of the visits that I had it in the Osho Bible College was after they'd done a little remodeling, and the communion table was moved from the floor up, is it two steps? Three? One step. Then the pulpit is another step. Yeah. I knocked the communion table off each step, and it rolled down in the aisle. Don't look at me like that. It never hurts to rearrange the furniture when you're having a good old shaking. Don't look at me like that. My first time in the Calvary Pentecostal Tabernacle, I asked everybody, where do they sit? Well, they said, the old pastor sit right here. And then, of course, you see that the base is here, the steel is here, and everything is here. You know what I did? When they come back in church that next Sunday morning, I moved the steel over here, and I moved the PA over here. I'd have had a board meeting, but I didn't want them in on the surprise. I moved the PA over here. I took the organ. I didn't move it much, but I moved it, and I screamed, and I grunted, and I moved that piano until they could see it wasn't setting where it had been setting the last 30 years. I took the former pastor's pew off of the platform. Oh, you're looking at me now. And I walked up there and I said, if we're going to start off new, let's just start off by rearranging the furniture. Start off brand new. My God of heaven, that's all somebody. That's all somebody in this house needs is to walk into this room. Rearrange the furniture. Change your pew. Change the place you pray. Change the words you say. Change the feeling that you've got. Rearrange the furniture until God shakes you from the front to the back. That's all we need. That's all we need. Hey, get ready to play something, honey. Because I'm getting ready to tell them something right here. You don't have to have a 48-member choir to have a shaking. You don't have to have a 2-hour protracted meeting to have a shaking. You just got to have a pastor that already knows we've knocked over everything, and he just will knock it over again. That's all you got to have. You just got to have somebody sitting in this house that'll look around and say, ain't you tired of being tired? Ain't you sick of being sick? Ain't you tired of hearing Grandpa say, I remember how it was and what we used to see and what they used to do? Ain't you tired of that? Would you like somebody to say, we can do it again and feel it again? My brother Height, you ought to be preaching this on the first night of revival. I am. The other four nights we've had around here has just been the vestibule. Tonight, we're coming on in. The other four nights around here has been the introduction. You're getting a sermon tonight. This is the first night. Wyandotte Tabernacle is fixing to say, my God. It started on a Friday, and he shook us until he said, revival! Our church! Listen. Listen. I got to tell you something. I really got to tell you something. Hey, listen. Here it is. Here it is. Paul and Silas, by this time, are loose. They're free. By this time, everybody in the jail is loose and free. Except one guy. A guy walks up and says, I don't have chains on me. I'm not bound. But my job is to see to it that you prisoners stay in here. And if you get out, they're going to kill me. And Paul says, oh, don't let this shaking startle you, because the same Holy Ghost that's a setting the preachers loose is a fixing to set the sinners loose at the very same time. The very same moment. What'd you just say? I just said, you don't have to have the Holy Ghost to get set free in here. You don't have to be a sinner to get set free in here. Everybody in this story got loose, that everybody in this house can get what they need from God. Well, I just feel this on my heart, but I don't think that Brother Johnston has been preaching enough to the lost. Well, once again, an old-fashioned Holy Ghost shake, he'll even appeal to the lost. I don't think you preachers preach enough about receiving the Holy Ghost. I repeat. You had a good old shaking, and it's going to appeal to the people that need the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you right here in this house, right now, I don't care about your age. I don't care about the physical condition. You don't have to run a marathon to enjoy the victory and the blessings of God. I don't care about your young age. You don't have to understand all of the books of Revelation in order to compile some kind of efforts about the coming of the Lord. I'm just going to tell you right here, tonight, in this house, right now. Let me tell you something. Right here. Right here. In this house. If there's anybody in the room that's a feeling this, I want you to say, oh, glory be to God. It still works. If there's anybody in the house that's a feeling him, won't you just lean back right now? You mean I don't have to jump up? No. Just lean back right now. Throw your hands up to God and say, oh, hallelujah. The old time way still works. The old time power still shakes. The old time visitation still here. The old time way of worshiping God, it still works. It still works. It still works. Wow! I don't mean to look wild at you right now. I'm just all shook up. I'm just all shook up, you hear me? Oh God. Oh God. Woo! How can we be saying hallelujah without a guitar player? I'll tell you how. Paul and Silas did it. How can we holler hallelujah without a drummer? Paul and Silas did it. Woo! And we can have revival. Woo! I have never been so overwhelmed in my life with a feeling that the revival's just starting. I have never been so convinced in my life that this was the night that we should have put a date down on the poster. That revival started in Wyandotte. The night that we figured it out. There's something on the other side of nothing. That you can come into His house. That you can turn loose of the handrail. That His Word already said it. And on Friday night, God came down. Shook that church. Shook that pastor. Shook that congregation. And they broke out into revival. I don't want to be selfish here, but somebody lean back, holler hallelujah, and ask God to do it at Calvary this weekend. Somebody lean back and ask God to honor my church this coming weekend. Oh, I've been here stirring up the water, and now revival to fall at Calvary. I'm telling you, we're all in this thing together. God's in here right now. If anybody in this room feels set free and you want to step out to an aisle, throw your hand up to God, you don't have to run. You don't have to fall. You don't have to dance. You just felt the door open. You want to step out into an aisle. Raise your hands and say, I felt like God just shook something loose for me tonight. Is there anybody in this house? Any teenager in this house? You don't have to run the pews backwards. And you don't have to get called to preach. You just feel like stepping out saying, I felt the door open. And every time He does it, I'm going to step through it. Every time He blesses me, I'm going to let Him bless me again. There may be some grandma in this house right now that can barely get around. He'll grab a hold of that old pew, step out to an aisle, hold the corner, and just shake her fist in the face of the devil and tell her he's still in the shaking business. He hasn't gone out of business. Revival is just as real as it's ever been. What you waiting on, Brother Hyde? I'm just waiting on somebody in this room that wants to get all shook up and they're willing to come out of that cell saying, glory be to God, He did it again. I'm just waiting on some young lady in this room that's wanting to come out of that cell saying, oh, glory be to God, He did it in 2004, just like He did for Paul and Silas for sure. I'm just looking for somebody in this room that just feels like saying, I don't ever want to be the same song leader again. I don't want to be the same Sunday school teacher again. I don't want to be the same deacon again. I don't want to be the same husband again. I want to be shook by the power of God and be in on the revival that falls at Wyandotte. I'm waiting on a visitor that'll just lean back and say, I don't want to go back to my church ever again like I've been. I want to go back with the shaking of God. I want them to see it when I stand. I want them to hear it when I sing. I want them to see it when I testify. I'm telling you, I've just opened up these altars for anybody and everybody that's tired of sitting with a chain wrapped around your heart, wrapped around your soul, and wrapped around your voice. Woo! You can shake it loose tonight and worship God in this house because praise is in order tonight. And Sister Patricia Height was singing about the Holy Ghost, and somebody raised their hands, hollered hallelujah, and got a refilling on Friday night, the first night of Wyandotte Tabernacle's revival. Sister Height was singing about the power of God. Somebody lifted their hands, shouted hallelujah, and received the power of God on the first night of the revival at Wyandotte. Woo! You just thought it was over. Hey! Somebody tell the devil we're shaking loose for a touch of God around here. Say it, honey. Oh Lord, send the power just now. Oh Lord, send the power just now. Sing it, honey. If you feel like praying with somebody, grab them. If you feel like praying a prayer of faith with somebody, pray. If you feel like talking to your daughter, talk to her. If you feel like talking to somebody.